Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, it's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to the 73rd episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, well, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you this important information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We are here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each and every week. Today we'll be talking about the seven things child needs to hear. And I'd like to start off with a quote from Anne Frank. Parents can only give out good advice or put the children on the right path, but the final forming of a person's character lies in their own hands. In other words, we do the best we can, but our children's choices are our children's choices. And until the children reach a certain age, we can guide them and support them, but there's not much else that we can do to form their character, even though we think we can. Interesting. I'm getting ready to teach a class on archetypes and sacred contracts, and some of these seven important things, you begin to understand your child from a more archetypal dynamic rather than a limited perspective. So let's get started here. The first of the seven things that it's important to say to your children, and this phrasing of where I got this is a little different than what I would do. It says seven things every child needs to hear. Say it a little bit differently. Seven important things to say to your child daily. You can't make your children hear. That's one of the first issues that I had with this statement. You can't make your children hear. And if you go back into some of the ways the brain works and some of our episodes on brain, we really aren't as multitask skilled as we think we are, especially males. And if we think we have our children's attention, and they might even be looking at us, we don't know whether or not they're hearing us. So I know when I work with clients, a lot of times we hear through our filters, and we hear through how our world is ordered and filtered. So we may not actually hear what people are saying. It's like that old game, gossip, where you sit a bunch of people in a circle and start with one statement, and that person tells the statement to somebody else who tells it to somebody else who tells it to somebody else. And in the end, you see if it's recognizable or not. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes people use it up and jazz it up just because they think it needs to have a little pizzazz. Other people just don't hear it correctly. So what is the first of seven things that every child can have said to them? The first statement is, proud of you. I'm proud of you. And interestingly enough, again, this statement is, I would say it in a different way, because pride implies competition, and as we know from previous episodes, competition is a high sympathetic activity, and a lot of times things are lost in the competitive nature of things. So proud implies competition, and that you notice that your child has done better than other children. Now, whether or not you agree with me is interesting, but child know that you have noticed the things they have done and acknowledge the accomplishments that they are making. Even with a little one, I'm watching my grandson, and he's playing the typical catch-me-if-you-can crawl game, so that as soon as you get close to him, he just shrieks with laughter and heads off again, crawling as fast as he can. And so they may not understand that you're proud of them, but when you hold that energy, when you begin to just sit with, I'm really proud of you, you're crawling, look at how well you're doing, those types of things, your child will pick up on it. And it's really fascinating how children move through different stages. And, of course, under the age of one, they don't have the language skills to understand when you tell them, I'm proud of you. So they need activities and an energetic sense of the parent is acknowledging this great accomplishment of crawling, of walking, of talking. It's really wonderful. A friend of mine told me a story the other day. What parents had been trying to get their little girl to say, and I think she was like 15 months, to say mommy and daddy. And she just really wasn't coming up with speech. And so my friend walked in, and she and this little girl have a very special relationship. And the little girl held out her hand in which there were some keys, and she looks at my friend and she says, I've got keys. Not only were they her first real understandable words, but they were in a sentence, and they were appropriate because she was holding keys. And the parents got a little frustrated. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh, I can't even get her to say mama or dada. You really can't force children into places they're not quite ready to go. But acknowledging what they're doing, standing under it, letting them know through your voice and through your actions that you're glad they're doing what they're doing, that goes a really long way. The second of these seven things is I'm listening. Again, these are geared to children a little bit more skilled in language. But as a parent, we get drawn in 100 different directions. Sometimes our listening skills aren't what they could be. Sometimes our listening skills are filled with distractions and static as we try to move through our day and the things that we need to get done. So I would recommend that you take just a couple of minutes and belly breathe and sit with your child and just let them know, again, with your energy, with your physical posture, with your attitude, and with your emotions, that I'm listening, I'm there for you. What you have to say is important, and I value it. The third skill is this is your responsibility. Again, let's make sure that we are age appropriate with what we're saying and what we're teaching our children. One of the things that I learned with my children growing up is Saturday mornings, we had chore day, and unless there was a game or something and we had to reschedule when it did, we allowed 2 hours on Saturday to do, and we had little strips of paper that we had cut up, and I put them in a pie pan, and each of us drew three chores, okay? And my sons knew that the chore they drew was their responsibility. And if they didn't do it, they were pretty much cut off for Saturday activities until it was done. Because they needed to understand at a very young age that if they are part of a family, part of a life, part of a group, part of friends, part of school, that their responsibility is ultimately their responsibility. And I find this interesting that this comes up this week. I'll tell you again, I'm dating the show slightly, but that's okay. There was a young boy, I think he was 4 years old, who decided he wanted to go big silverback gorilla. And so he climbed over a 3 or 4 foot wall, climbed over some shrubs, dropped down 12 feet, and the gorilla came over and grabbed him, and various things you can, there was tape on YouTube, and that's as much as I can go because that's as much as I know for sure. And they did wind up killing the gorilla. Now the big controversy is, whose responsibility is this? Well, we all know the gorilla is pretty much blameless. His territory was threatened, and he went into protection mode. And now they're saying it's the zoo's responsibility for having a wall that's too low. But in the past, the zoos have been criticized because you can't see the animals if the walls are too high. And so the federal regulations regulated this wall height of 3 feet. And it doesn't take much for a kid to warm out of his parents' sight challenge. They're not doing anything wrong. And this four-year-old kid still does not know that he did anything wrong. He just wanted to swim with the gorilla. The huge finger of responsibility and blame is pointing at the parents at the zoo, at the parents at the zoo, and whose ultimate responsibility is it? I'm of the opinion that this is not an easy question to answer, and my diplomat is coming up with a little bit of a softening. But ultimately, a child is the parent's responsibility, and in turn, when they are responsible, they teach responsibility to their children. So it's better if you own up to what's going on and deal with it. So I listened to a judge bring his insight in, and the basic dynamic is the zoo did what it was required to do. If that wasn't enough, we need to increase the standards, but ultimately that child is the parent's responsibility, not the zoo's. So teaching your children responsibility as early as possible is a very good thing. The fourth is, you can do it. You can do it. And we've talked about if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Now, I may have heard you can do it, and I knew there were lots of things that I couldn't do, like when my parents were trying to take me in for shots, and they'd say, you can do it, you can do it. No, I couldn't. I forced myself into it, and a lot of times they strapped me down on a table so that they could give me the shot because I did not believe I could do it. This in the sense of be realistic in what you're putting on your child. You can do it, might need a qualifier. You can do it. We can get this over with. We'll move on with our lives. It's not pleasant, and it's something that needs to happen, so you can do it. And there's a big difference between you can do it and you will do it. Huh, very interesting. Let's talk a little bit more about that when we get back from our commercial. I'd like to remind you that the audio bonus that is a part of the Calm Moms free report is no longer available. I did get some feedback that someone signed up for the free report and they did not get it. So I have checked into that, and everything seems to be working well now. We'll be back in just a minute talking about the difference between you can do it and you will do it.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. Thank you so much for staying with me through the commercial. Let's talk about the difference between I can do this and I will do this. Just sit with the energy for just a moment. I can do this. Well, that implies that I do have the ability. I will do this implies a commitment to doing it. So you can do this and you will do this are different energies. And you can do this opens up a discussion as to whether or not they're going to do it. You will do this is probably more of a statement of parental will, putting my will over theirs. So listen to the language. The fifth most important thing your children can hear from you is I made a mistake and I'm sorry. I stay away a little bit from the energy of I'm sorry. I made a mistake and I apologize. I made a mistake. I am aware that I did it. I will work not to do it again. But children can learn at a very young age that their parents are not infallible and that everyone makes mistakes. This helps them understand that when they make a mistake, they can own up to it. They can accept responsibility for it. They can, and I'm listening to the language I'm using, they can do something that says, I acknowledge this, it was a mistake, and I'm acknowledging that I apologize and I feel badly that I made the mistake. The sixth most important thing is mistakes happen, and I forgive you. Your children will begin to come back with you and mimic you quite a bit. So if you are saying, I made a mistake, I feel badly, I acknowledge that I made a mistake. And, of course, when your child is very young, you can say, oh, mommy did a boo-boo or daddy did a boo-boo and let it go at that. But as you get older, the quality of mistakes happen. Together, see what happened and come out with a commitment and a desire to do better the next time. If I acknowledge that I make mistakes, and I make plenty, then my children will understand that it's okay to make mistakes, acknowledge them, and move on. And forgiveness is a big part of that. The seventh thing for me is the number one thing. And I was thinking about this the other day. Somebody asked me about whether or not my step-grandson and my grandson have issues of jealousy, pleading for parental love, or those types of things. And I thought about this for a long time. When I was growing up, a lot of times the statement was made, I love you, but I don't have to like you. Or I love you, but. And we all know that that but negates what is said in front of it, that you automatically discount it and you listen for what comes after the but. Let's come into a quality of what is love. So number seven is I love you. And my sons and I and my family and I all end all of our conversations with, I love you. a little bit of trauma and drama, or a little bit of conflict and those types of things, we all say, I love you. And I was thinking about this the other day. I think one of the things that I'm sharing with my grandchildren and my children as I move through life is that love is infinite. Love is complete in and of itself. I don't like the word unconditional because that implies that there is a condition to my love to start with. So I liken it to the sun. So the sun is there. It shines all the time. It's luminescent. It does its sun thing. And even if there are clouds or weather, time, or whatever, the sun never stops shining. And that's how I perceive love to be. Love is eternal. Love is infinite. Love is complete. It doesn't have conditions. And simply because I can't see it does not mean that it is not there. And I think my grandchildren, hopefully my grandchildren, are understanding that. And that love is all that is. So how do all these seven statements create wellness for your child? It helps the child feel safe. It helps the child feel secure. It helps your child feel love. It helps your child feel like they can grow and develop and that they have a part in their growth and development. And that is wellness, wellness and wholeness. I would like to propose that maybe you say these statements to yourself as well. As much as you use them throughout the day with your children, use them as much throughout the day for yourself, because it really does help to improve health and wellness and wholeness and a new perspective. And it comes into the next question of how is this one of your most important parenting skills? If you care for yourself in loving, compassionate, light-centered, heart-centered ways first, then you can care for the people in your life in the same way. And that's why these are very important parenting skills, because when you do it within, it exudes without. And one of the important psychological tenets, I think, is that we do try to make our outside world match our inside world. So if your child is not feeling heard, he's going to or she's going to throw a temper tantrum or do some other things simply to be heard, because their inside world is saying, you're not heard, you're not valued, you're not important. And they will do things to make themselves heard or feel valuable or feel important. So when you come from feeling heard, feeling forgiven, feeling that you don't have to be perfect, feeling that you are loved, your child will soon reflect some of those qualities and values back in their life, because they're reflecting them back to you as well. And then they just become more or less a habit of thinking and a habit of emotional balance and a habit of wellness and a habit of wholeness. How do these seven things increase relaxation? Well, if you're not at battle with yourself first and your child or children next, your life becomes less of a battlefield. And this is helpful for relaxation. So you can come into Ebb and Wholeness, as I mentioned before, and you can feel more balanced. You can feel more successful. You can feel more love. You can feel more forgiven and forgiving. And all of those lead to a deeper sense of self and purpose and self-esteem. They improve your self-esteem. They improve the self-esteem of your child. This reduces conflict. And an all-over sense of peace and love and joy can break out in family when some of these things are said and done and listened and heard and all of those. I've read in several articles in comes from research that one of the biggest needs of a child is the need of connection, eye connection, ear connection, whatever. And interestingly enough, I used to wonder what it would be like when I was reaching the age of my grandmother and then my mother, and feeling like they just didn't have the understanding that was needed. I maybe don't need to understand technology to a great extent. I don't need to understand what music my kids and grandkids are listening to. I don't need to understand a whole lot in their life. I just need to be present and connected with them. Then, all of those other things will fall into place. So, I hope this was a helpful place of going. Again, I have the Calm Moms from Stress to Calm for Moms program. And these specific things aren't discussed in the way I've discussed them in the radio show today, but they are explored in much greater depth than I was able to get to. So, from Bill Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S. It says, your kids require most of all that you love them for who they are, not to spend your whole time trying to correct them. And let's come back to love, that you just love them, not even for who they are, that you just love them and that they hear it and they know it and they feel it on every level. Let's make sure our children feel and the people that we care about in our lives feel that we are loved. And that love is infinite, constant, complete. For today's show, I encourage you to email in at info@makingshifthappen.com with any questions you might have or to suggest some topics. What is my favorite success quote? I think I'll go back to that one that we like. Children need to be known that they are loved, not just corrected all the time. What's a tool that I can use every day, one that I would hate to live without? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. I was working with a client the other day, and when she was saying, I hate this, that my body's doing this, we immediately went into, I forgive you, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. I forgive you, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And after saying that 5 times, she was okay with that part of her body that was causing her angst and concern. Then what can I do for fun? Again, I've been watching some videos of my newest grandchild, who is 11 months old now, and I think I'm just going to have a Skype session and spend some time with my grandson, my son, and my daughter-in-law. That sounds like fun to me. Have a great week and join us next week.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. To learn more or to reach out to Dr. Steph, please visit makingshiftshappen.com and join us again next time.